He told me this early on. He said he had never heard a good long sermon or a bad short one. Amen? So we'll get out of here right on time. Y'all can bet on that. It'll all work out just like it's supposed to. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Genesis. As you're turning to the book of Genesis, you say, well, why would you preach from the Old Testament? The Old Testament, the New Testament, is all inspired by the same God. And sometimes, you know, we have to back up and tie all these things together. So I want to just share some things with you in just a few minutes. Life is a tremendous journey, isn't it? I don't know if y'all get up in the morning, you know, and you wake up and you go out. And I do this before I ever go out of the house. I just kind of ponder for a second, what has God got planned for today? I mean, you know, God is a great God. He's powerful and he's got all this thing worked out. And I get up and I just say, man alive, I know something's going to happen today. Something just unbelievable is going to happen today. And if you think like that, it probably will. Now, if you wake up in the morning, you think, oh, my Lord, it's why did I even wake up? Well, if that's the case, if you can afford to go back to sleep. All right? But I have been so blessed in my life to be on this journey that I'm on. I never intended to preach. That wasn't even on my list. I came over here and I spoke at a Farm Bureau banquet, and they introduced me as being a lay speaker and all that sort of stuff, and some folks called me, and I came over and I spoke at a church for a little while, and 12 years later, I told them that was long enough. And since then, we've done other things. Evangelism is my heart. That's what I do. That's what I feel led to do. Because I am an evangelist, I also have to raise cows and sheep and stuff like that, because you can starve to death evangelizing. I'm just telling you, Paul said he had his tents and he would make his tents so that he'd not be dependent on anybody. So I tend them cows and it all works out like it's supposed to. And it helps us afford to do what God lays on our heart to do. In life's journey, sometimes we look back and sometimes we look where we are and sometimes we look forward. If you think about the scripture we're going to look at today, and I want you to think about it, that is our ministry, is AWIT, A-W-I-T. That's what our ministry is called, and it's AWIT, which means, and when I think. You see, what I think the problem in America today is we don't think enough. We just assume. We just kind of go with the flow. We just kind of wander along and wobble by and all that sort of stuff, but I think if we'd stop and think, we wouldn't be in some of the messes we're in. I think if we'd have thought about what was happening, you know, about 3 or 4 months ago, we wouldn't have to vote for Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. We'd have picked out a good one, you know. I think we'd have done, you know, if we'd have got far enough back. But we kind of wobble around. And AWIT is then when I think, and it's based on a song. I love singing. I appreciate y'all singing. I tell folks this all the time. Good singing to cover up for poor preaching. And amen, y'all covered it up well so far. So we'll go from there. But it's a song called How Great Thou Art. How many of y'all know How Great Thou Art? You never sing the third verse, though, do you? Not in the Baptist church. We sing the first, second, and last. But the third verse is this. And when I think of God, his Son not sparing, sent him to die, that on that cross, my burden gladly buried. I scarce can take it in. Now, folks, I've been thinking about it for 60 years, and I can't take it in. Why he gave his Son for such as me. But I sure am glad he did. Our scripture this morning, and it'll come out of two chapters. I'll begin there in the latter part of the 11th chapter there. And of course, this is the story, and if you've read any part of this particular thing, it's a genealogy, and it tells you who got who and who got who and who got who and how they got and all that sort of stuff there, and that's good to know. And it even tells you how long they lived, you know, and how some of them lived 300 and 400 years. Now, I mean, now you can do a lot of things in 300 or 400 years if that's what you set your mind to do. But I have come to the point, you know, that I believe God's got this thing figured out. And you know, when I get on up there around 80 or 90, when I can't function properly, I hope the Lord calls me home. When I'm not able to hunt and to tend cows and to shear sheep and all that, I really hope the Lord calls me home. When I can no longer contribute to the advancement of his kingdom's work, I hope he calls me home. But in this scripture, there's some things that are happening. And of course, they just kind of blow right through it in verse 10 and 11. And finally, you come to the place in verse 31. And it says, Terah took his son Abram, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, the wife of his son Abram, and together they set out from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to Canaan. Well, they struck out on a trip. Now, everybody in here has been on a trip at one time or another, a journey, so to speak, or whatever. I'm blessed, and I travel a good little bit. Now, I travel different than most people travel. I go there as fast as I can go. I do what I got to do, and I get on back home as soon as I get back home. It's nothing to go 1,000, 1,200 miles and do what the Lord put me there to do and be back home the next afternoon real late. My wife don't like that, and very few people. I have to sucker people into traveling with me because about one of them trips is enough. But here's a group of people, and God has laid it on their hearts to go do something, and they strike out, and they go to do this particular thing, which is go to the land of Canaan. You know, there's songs written about Canaan. There's stories about Canaan. You know, I mean, this is kind of how it wants to be. And yet there's something that happens here that I want you to look at. I want you to think about just a second. And it comes up on this word, and it says, but. Now, that same granddaddy that told me he'd never heard a good long sermon off, he told me a lot of times, he'd say, listen, I don't want to hear no ifs, no ands, or no buts about it. Here's what we're going to do. Now, all of you realize that in your life, you've came to that place, that but. God lays something on your heart. He puts something in your mind. He gives you a goal, a mission, and all that sort of stuff. And I want you to understand, if God inspires you to do it, you know what that means? You can do it. God doesn't call us into failure. We fail because of but. We fail because of all those things here between us and where he wants us to go. I never intended to preach for two reasons. Number one, I didn't like what I saw in preachers. Now, I'm just telling y'all the honest truth. You know, Gandhi said, I would have been a Christian were it not for what I saw in those who claimed to be Christians. I would have been a preacher were it not for what I saw in those who claimed to be preachers. That's another story. We ain't going to get into that one, but I want you to understand, here's where they came, and they came to this place of but, and it says, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. I would be willing to bet you that every person in this building, including myself, has come to a place where God put something on your heart, but you settled. I mean, you just decided, well, wait a minute. Now, I just don't know if I want to go that far. I don't know if I want to stretch that far. Maybe I find a point of comfort, and if I can be comfortable, you know, well, let somebody else do this. Have you ever thought about this? There's some things that only you can do. You parents, think about this. There's things that only you can do in the life of your children. There's not a parent in here that doesn't want their children to succeed. There's not a parent in here that doesn't want their children to accomplish things. But I want you to understand, a lot of their downfall will be based on whether or not you settle. My grandmama believes you should do your homework. I thought it was the craziest idea anybody ever come up with. I mean, if you go to school for 5 or 6 hours, when you get home, you ought to be able to play the rest of the day, whatever, you know. But she insisted. She didn't settle. She wanted her children to do well, her grandchildren to do well. And I want you to think about in your own life, what is it that you're settling for now? You see, here's the thing about these folks. They knew the whole time that they weren't doing what God wanted them to do. Nobody had to sit down with Abraham. Nobody would have to sit down with Sarah. They knew that they had stopped short of what God wanted them to do. And the question for you and the challenge for you is, have you stopped short of what God wants you to do? Have you given up on the journey? Have you given up on the mission before you got to where you were supposed to be? But I want you to understand, I want you to think about this. God is a God of forgiveness. God is a God of second chances. And I want you to realize that, because what happens in verse 1 of chapter 12, it says, the Lord had said to Abram. Now that word had said is important. This isn't a new revelation. This isn't something that just came up this morning. God had told him a long time ago he needed to go to Canaan. And maybe God reminded him or whatever. Maybe God's reminding you right now where you're supposed to be and what you're supposed to be doing. And it's going to require that you get up. Well, I want you to think about what he does here. It says that God said, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. How many of you believe that's a hard thing to do? You've been somewhere and you've got comfortable and you kind of got it all figured out, you know, and you know where the refrigerator is and you can find the bathroom in the dark and all that kind of stuff right there. You know, you get to that place. And God comes up and God speaks and God lays something on your heart, and it's off the charts almost. This man is 75 years old and God says, leave your inheritance. Now, some of y'all understand inheritance. Some of you are yet to gain your inheritance, and some of you are kind of scratching your head. But what he's saying is, leave all of these things that you've put together for so long and get up and go. Now, I want you to understand, the older you get, the harder it is to move. physically, mentally, emotionally, every other way, the older you get, the harder it gets to move. Amen? I mean, folks is impressed with me. I'm 60 years old. I know y'all think I ain't a day over 35. Y'all think me and Clint went to school together. But you know what I believe? The worst thing you can do is nothing. I hear people tell me from time to time, man, I want to get to the point in my life where I can do nothing. What fun would do nothing mean? I still hunt hogs. And I catch them bad boys. Some people hunt them, I catch them, amen? I mean, you know, I ain't out there playing. If I show up and you a hog, you better hide now because I come to get you. I come to get you. That's all there is to it. And I will tell you there's parts of me that don't work as good as I broke this hand about 2 weeks ago and I couldn't stick the hog like I was supposed to. And we caught a big hog Saturday. It was a week ago. And my grandson, who is a wonderful young man, come up and he said, Daddy Pete, I ain't never seen you struggle. I said, well, my hand, it was real swole up then. He said, you want me to stick him? I said, yeah, but don't you tell nobody you did it. He told everybody he'd come in contact with. You can't count on nobody for nothing. But what I'm trying to get across to you is if God asks you to leave your inheritance and to move, I'm not here to tell you it's easy. I was born in Bullock County. I went to school in Bullock County. I was raised in Bullock County. The only house that I have ever owned in my life is in Bullock County. I live in Scriven County. Hardest move I've probably ever made in my life. But God told me to. When I moved there, my daddy, it was right before my daddy died, and daddy come over and he surveyed the situation. And he said, I hope you know there ain't no way in the world you can pay for this place. That kind of encouragement, folks, to carry you a long ways. Amen? He said, your only hope would be if cows was to go to $1 a pound and stay there. We sold calves last year for $2.84 a pound, $1,600-something a piece. I wish Daddy could have seen that. Now, A.W., I don't know what we're going to do this year, brother. It might be a different story, but we're going to make it work. But what I want you to think about is what happens. And here's what God does in verse 2. It says, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. What he says is, here's the plan. I'm not asking you just to stumble out there, and I'm asking you to go to a place that you don't know, but I'll tell you what, if you do what I tell you to do, when you get there, you'll be glad you did. And that's the way he works with all of us. You know, sometimes we have to just step out. You know what faith is. Faith isn't doing something you've already done 45 times. Faith isn't doing something that you know the answer to it and the results of. Faith is doing something that you don't really have a clue about. And you just step out. But he says, if you'll do this, he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and I will make your name great. Now, I don't know how much this means to anybody, but a good name is rather to be had than wealth. And I want you to understand it, and I want you to think about that. You want me to tell you what's hurting us as a Christian movement? I'm not talking about Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostals. I'm not talking about anything. What's hurting us is we got folks who come to church and can't keep on when they get out the door, whose reputation and whose name goes so far ahead of them that it destroys everything that they've done in here. You either is or you ain't. That's what it comes down to. But it says there, and here's what it says in the last part of that verse. It says, and you will be a blessing. You want me to tell you one of the greatest blessings, if not the greatest blessing there is? It's the blessing of being a blessing. Now think about what I just said. The blessing of being a blessing. The blessing of knowing that you helped somebody. The blessing of knowing that you advanced the kingdom of God. The blessing of knowing that you was honorable to who he was, what he was, and what he had you to do. That may be the greatest blessing of all the blessings. The problem is, folks, we've come to the place we just want to give it to us. What's in it for me? How am I going to come out on top of this thing? I mean, if it ain't good for me, it can't be good for nobody else. You want me to tell you what we're really called to do? Help those that can't help back. You want me to tell you our problem? We don't want to help anybody unless there's something for me to be gained. But he told Abraham, if you go, you will be a blessing. It says in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Well, here's what it says there, you know, and I try to get this across to some people or whatever, and they say, well, that's a little bit self-serving, but align yourself with a godly man. Church, let me tell you this. You align yourself with a godly man, a man who's trying to do what God wants him to do, who's willing to do what God wants him to do, and with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind, he wants to do what God wants him to do, and not only will he be blessed by that, you'll be blessed by it. And so when we come to this place, what it is another promise that God makes. But then it goes on and it says in verse 4, it says, Abram left as the Lord had told him, And Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out for Haran. He left. He went. What does it say he did? It said he obeyed. He obeyed. Now, if we could take a poll, and I'm sure y'all are like me, you don't even want to answer your phone anymore because they're always going to take a poll, you know, who you going to vote for and who you going to vote against and all that sort of stuff there. And I'm writing myself in it, you know. I think it's what I'm doing right now because I know I couldn't make no bigger mess than the rest of them could. But what I want you to think about, and I want you to understand in terms of this scripture, whatever, is obedience. How many of you are really obedient? I watched y'all sing. Now, don't take me wrong with what I just said. I watch people sing as much as I listen to them sing. Y'all got that? Y'all understand what I'm saying? I can watch somebody sing and tell you whether they can sing or not. I can watch them dance and tell you whether they can dance or not. Now, you got rhythm, but you can't dance. Can't, all right, hold back, brother. There's a point to everything. But I watch folks sing these songs. And if we left this building this morning and did what we said we were going to do in that song service, if we left this building this morning and as we walked out into the world, we kept the words that we just said, we'd change the world so much that nobody even recognized it in just a little while. I surrender all. I got a sermon I use in youth stuff a lot of times. You know, what does I surrender all really mean to you? And what it really means is I'm going to surrender just enough to get by, so to speak. But it says that he obeyed, he went, he did what God laid on his heart. It says he took his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. They didn't just start on a journey, they completed the journey. I do a lot of things and all, and people tell me a lot of stuff or whatever. And part of what I do, of course, is hunting. That's how I met Cam, I guess, preaching to him. I didn't affect him as much as I wanted to, but I preached to him for a while. But I used to hunt with Cam's daddy and with Cam a little bit. And folks would come up and they'd say, well, man, we almost caught 6 hogs today. We almost caught 7, you know, and this and that. And I said, how do you almost catch one? Well, we had him bayed, but the bulldog didn't catch. Or we had him this and something else caught. And I said, well, listen, I said, the only ones you catch is the ones you put in your truck. It's kind of like fishing. You know, I went fishing before I got married. My father-in-law carried me deep sea fishing, and I still wonder if there wasn't something going on there. I ain't never been so sick in my life. Y'all ever been seasick? My Lord of mercy, it's too far to see and too far to walk, all that kind of stuff. And I got sick, and it made my daddy-in-law laugh just like y'all. It wasn't funny a bit to me at the time. But I almost caught several fish. Ain't none of them on my wall. But it says that they struck out, they did what God laid on their hearts, and it says, and they arrived. They arrived. They were obedient, and they were blessed, and they arrived. Church, I want you to think about this. Have you really arrived? Is your relationship with God what it's supposed to be? Let me tell you how I talk to Jesus. Pretty much like I'd talk to anybody else. How you doing today, Lord? Man alive, sure is good to see you. You know, my favorite song is the same as Forrest Gump. Y'all sing Forrest Gump song? Y'all don't ever sing Andy? Y'all don't even know Andy. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there is like none I've ever known. It says Abraham traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At the time, the Canaanites were in the land. Now, it spells out something there that I think is important. It says the Canaanites were still there. In other words, they weren't inhabiting a land that had never been inhabited. They were inhabiting a land that was already inhabited. Now, that might not mean anything unless you stop and think about it. Now, if somebody drives up in my yard and says, look here, I come to take your house. I want you to get your mess and get out. I ain't for shooting people. I ain't for cutting them or nothing like that, but I'd shoot him and cut him. I'm going to just tell y'all just like it is, all right? I mean, that's mine, all right? That's where I belong. And you think about what's happening here. It wants us to know that he went there while the Canaanites were still there. And the only way that he was able to do what he was able to do is because God provided, because God went there ahead of him, because God prepared the way. So what am I trying to tell you? I'm not telling you it's going to be easy. I'm not telling you changing Scriven County and bringing Scriven County back to a right relationship with Christ is going to be easy, because I know it won't be. There's only 80% of the people in this county that's lost. That's all. There's only 11,000 people lost in this county that we live in. I tell pastors all the time, they'll get wound up in. Good friend of mine pastors a church right through Millen or whatever, and some of them got wound up. So y'all both kind of preach alike, and y'all do this and that. And I said, well, we got a plan. And they said, well, what is it? I said, as soon as we get 1,000 new members and they get 1,000 new members, then we're going to flip a coin over the rest of them. Clint, you got room for 140 right here. Did you realize there's only seating capacity in Scriven County for 40% of the people that live here? In other words, if everybody wanted to go to church that next Sunday, they couldn't. But what I want you to think about is what's happening here, and it says that they went there. Verse 7 says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, the greatest blessing may be the blessing of being a blessing, but it might be second. To the appearing of God, the revelation of who he is and of what he is, and of the simple fact that he has a plan for your life. Have you ever thought about that the creator of the universe stopped what he was doing and made a plan for each and every one of you? That the creator, the sustainer of the universe has a direction for your life. He has a goal for your life. And if you'll just surrender to that, I promise you, you'll be the happiest person you've ever been. But it says that he appeared to him and he said, to your offspring I will give this land. To the next generation and to the next generation. I appreciate your children and the fact that y'all have a plan for them, y'all have a purpose for them, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm concerned for this next generation. I'm worried about these youngins. When I grew up, there was a few boys in our class that would drink a beer from time to time, but you know that was about the extent of it. When I went off to school, what little while I went to school, you know, I saw a few things that was fairly minor compared to what we are, but our young people are exposed to some things that they focus us off of. And unless we get right, they'll never get right. Unless we listen to God, they'll never hear God. But he says that they went and they did this thing, and then here's what he did. So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. What's that say? He put down everything he was doing, and he put aside everything else, and he worshiped God. If we miss anything today, we've missed worshiping God. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I'll ever have, everything I'll ever be is because of God. He has blessed me, and he keeps on blessing me, and I don't understand why he loves me the way he loves me, but I sure am glad he does. I'm claustrophobic. Now, that's about the biggest word I can pronounce, you know, and some of y'all may know what it means, some of y'all don't, but I can't stand to be shut up in small spaces. I mean, if it gets tight, somebody got to move. When we were youngins, we played football in the front yard on Sunday afternoon, and, you know, I'm amazed now to get these commercials, and they say, make your youngin' go play an hour a day. Mom would holler out, it'd be dark. If y'all don't come in this house, I'm going to come get y'all and all that sort of stuff. We'd play all night if they'd leave us alone. But we played football, and I got to run the ball sometimes, you know, or whatever, and they'd tackle me. Now, when we played football in the yard and we tackled, the man on the bottom, everybody else jumped on top. I mean, you just smashed that scandal. He wasn't ever going to get back up, you know, if you could play it right. All of them but me, they wouldn't do that with me. If they jumped and piled on me, somebody's fixing to get bit. I was going to stick you in the eye. You're going to get up from there because I had to have some air. Now, there ain't no beating around the bush. I had to breathe. I got hurt several times, you know. I got killed out at Mr. George Rouse's about 5 or 6 years ago, and they wanted to slide me up in one of them there tubes, you know, and check on me. I said, I'm either live or die. I ain't going in that tube, though. I promise y'all that. But air is a big thing with me. Breathing is a big deal with me. And y'all have sit here through this entire service and nobody's thought about breathing until right now. But I'm watching y'all. And if some of y'all kind of telling yourself, okay, I got you, didn't I? Matlock ain't got nothing on me. He is the air I breathe. He's the air you breathe. He's the reason you can breathe when you don't think about it, because he's thinking about you when you're not thinking about you. He loves you more than you'll ever understand. He cares for you more than anybody ever cared for you. And church, if you can't worship that God, then something's wrong with you. And this is what it is. You do not know my God. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you care for us. We thank you that you provide for us. Lord, we thank you that you put challenges before us, Lord. We thank you that you give us direction to go in, Lord. And we thank you that if you give us a direction to go in, we can always know without any question that you've gone there before us, that you're paving the way, Lord, that you have a very perfect and a very, very ideal plan for each and every person in here. Lord, I know there's folks in here that thinks, well, at my age, what can I do? Lord, at this particular man's age, at 75 years old, he went out and he changed the world. Lord, later in his life, we know that he hadn't had that son, and yet he had that son anyway, because you're a great God, and if you said you're going to do it, you're going to do it. But Lord, we ask you to forgive us, because so often we say we're going to do it, and we don't. Lord, right now I pray for the courage and the confidence and the conviction that people need, Lord, to do what you'd have them to do. I pray, Lord, if there's one here that doesn't know you for whatever reason, Lord, I pray as we go forward in the service that they get with Clint or whoever they need to and they make this right. I pray, Lord, if there's folks here that have drifted away, Lord, and they've just been playing church all this time and they've just been going through the motions, Lord, all this time. And Lord, they stopped a long ways before where they were supposed to be. You told them to go to Canaan, and they got to Haran, and it didn't look so bad after all, and they hung out there. I pray right now, Lord, that you give them the courage and the conviction to get up from where they are and to go until they get where you want them to be. Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you that you care for us. Thank you for what you're doing here in this church, Father God. And I just pray, Lord Jesus, that folks ride by and say, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that miraculous? What God's doing among his people in his place. We ask this in your most holy and precious and perfect name.